Praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adeomi again. We are going through the book of Hebrews. We are completed chapter 1, where chapter 1 of Hebrews was actually presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the heir of all things. Not only heir of all things that God has created, but that He is actually God manifested in the flesh. Because He says He's the express image of His glory. You see that in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 1. God, Christ is the express image, brightness of His glory, express image of His person. And Lord Jesus Christ said it when He came and was talking to Nicodemus in Gospel of John chapter 3. No man has ascended to heaven, but he that descended, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And I pointed out to you that He was referring to the Son of Man that Ezekiel saw on the throne when he saw the lightning figure of cherubs that are flying. And then when the cherubs let their wings down, on top of their heads was like a throne, which means those cherubs are actually carrying a throne. And he saw on the throne the appearance of a Son of Man. What do you mean by a Son of Man? He looked like us, human beings, except that he is like a fire tracing the image of a human being. But you could see that whether it's red or yellow, if it's a human, you see you have one head, two eyes, one nose, nostrils, mouth. That's the structure of a human being. No wings. If you say wing, like you call him like a bird, not so. No wings, just staying like a human being. But it was, he said, from his loins down was like pillars of fire. From his loins upward was like fire. So it was fiery human being sitting on the throne, but tracing a human being. And that's what he say like a Son of Man. And Jesus Christ said, that is the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So when Christ was saying, no man ascended to heaven, the thing that descended is talking about the Son of Man, which is in heaven, the Son of Man, referring to what Ezekiel saw. That is the one that descended and put on the human flesh to live among us. Hallelujah. And this is the mystery that Hebrews chapter 1 was trying to clear for us, pointing to some of these prophecies in the book of Psalms, that he said, thy throne, O God, calling the Son of God as going to be born as God. And he also said he is to live forever. And he mentioned that in verse 11, that they shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as a garment you change them. And he was pointing to that in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 13. So the whole of Hebrews chapter 1 was actually revealing the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as God manifested in the flesh, and that is the God that created all things, and He put on the flesh, and it's greater than angels, because angels are ministering to us. Now, let's go to chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. This is a warning from the writer, Apostle Paul. Lest at any time we should let them sleep. Say, give heed to what we are listening to. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. The word spoken by angels was steadfast. If anybody disobeyed, there will be a just recompense. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation then, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord Himself when He was preaching in Galilee, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Somebody say, well, you guys are following this book that was written 2,000 years ago. Maybe it was just fantasy, or it was just... This is not fantasy. This Bible is not fantasy. I'm trying to make it to see. The Word of God is not fantasy. It's not mythology. It's not fairy tales. This happened in history. The Lord Jesus Christ visited the earth, and He went back to heaven, and He told the apostles that were there with Him to preach the gospel to the whole world. And from there, the Holy Spirit walking with them, because Christ said, I will be with you forever. And the Holy Spirit in the apostles, and it's been sent to all of us that are still preaching, to everyone that is believers, anyone that believes, this sign shall follow them. They shall speak with no tongue, he will go to be baptized, everyone, with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is revealing to us the plan of God, the purpose of God, which we are revealing to you right now. And the same Spirit is what that moved them to write the book of Hebrews that we are explaining to you right now. This thing is real. That this is the plan of God from the beginning, and He's going to fulfill it in the end. He's is going through a process, and we are going through that process to become sons of God. And we are inviting you that is listening, if you are not already come to Christ, better come to Christ and be one of the believers, so that you can have that, go into that process also and become sons of God also. Because that is the plan of God for making sons. He said Christ will bring many more sons unto glory. And he's going to say that in this chapter 2 of Hebrews. So let's go on and read this chapter 2 of Hebrews. He said, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and any disobedience to it will be, we have a recompense of reward, just recompense. Say, we shall not escape also if we neglect this great salvation, which the Lord himself started, spoke and then told the apostles to say, speak it to the whole world, teach it to the whole world. And it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Verse 4 says, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So how are we going to escape? God was confirming the word of the apostles, and up to now he's still confirming the words of which preachers are preaching. That's why he's still showing signs and wonders, miracles, healing, that he's sending to the world. So that he followed us with signs following, so that we can be sure that this thing is real. Verse 5 said, for unto the angels are see not put in subjection the world to come, wherefore we whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited him? That is quoting Psalm 8 now, the book of Psalm 8. That God has elevated human beings, because he says he's creating man in his own image. He said, let us make man in our image. When God was creating man in his own image, he was thinking of his own particular image, this image of God himself. The son of man that was sitting on those throne in heaven is making a human being in his own image. And when he made the first man, Adam, he made him in his own image. See? Then he brought a female out of Adam later for a purpose. See? But he made man in his own image. And then when he came in form of the image that he has created as son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what this story is saying. Verse 5 in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5 says, unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come. The world to come is the kingdom of God that is coming. The kingdom of God that is going to be ruling this world. When this unbeliever world is destroyed, there will be a new kingdom. He has promised that. If 1,000 years first, that's the millennium, then there will be eternal kingdom where Christ will reign forever. Reigning from this new Jerusalem that is going to descend. And that new Jerusalem is a city according to the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. And where this is where the Lord Jesus Christ will be reigning from, really ruling the whole universe or universes. Okay. And a human being, yes, that's what God has planned. That's what about this Hebrew chapter 2 is saying. That for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, wherefore he speak. But one in a certain place testify, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Because he has made man in his own image. And he wanted to be above, I want to be like a woman being put on the human flesh in the form of a logical, and that's going to be God among us. That's what people say, the tabernacle of God, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God will be living among us as the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling the whole universes from the inside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his sons that is filling us with the Holy Spirit will be ruling with him all over the universes. Some will be ruling in galaxies, some will be ruling in the world, some will be ruling in some planets, some will be ruling in some cities, some will just be controlling some affairs. And that is really what he's saying here, that he has not put the world to come under angels, but under man. Because himself put on the human flesh and be a man and be like a man, and that's not like a man, be a son of man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was saying, verse 6, about one in a certain place in the book of Psalm 8 said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. That's verse 8. But now we see not yet all things put under him. You see, when we look at human beings, say, well, has everything been put under the human beings that we that are not right now? It doesn't look like we have seen anything put under us yet. Or human beings are trying to make all this technology, which is trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to make animals to be subjected. All of those things was because of the fall of man, because of the fall of Adam. So all the animals are in rebellion and those things. So we have to begin to tame them. But this book of Hebrews is saying we have not seen everything yet put under man, except the Lord Jesus Christ, that man came to demonstrate it when Jesus Christ, when the Lord God himself put on human flesh as Jesus Christ. In verse 9, said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You see, that is how he was made a little lower than the angels, because angels don't die, not so. But Jesus Christ came in form of a human being and gave up his blood, gave up his life. He said, no man take my life from me. I lay down my life and I'll take it again. So by the suffering of death, he was made a little lower than the angels. What this verse 9 was saying, it's only by the suffering of death that he was made a little lower than the angels. But he was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That was the purpose. Christ Jesus tasted death for every man. Verse 10, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, remember, by him all things were created, in bringing many sons unto glory. The logic is to bring many sons unto glory. That is, bringing all of us that are believing in him, many of us, to become sons of God, to become perfect like him. Because that's why he said, as many as received him, the book of Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12 says, as many as received the Lord Jesus Christ, to them, for us, gave he power, that's the Holy Ghost power in us, to become sons of God. So he gave us the power so that we can become like him. So we are still going through that process, gradually changing from glory unto glory in our gentleness. You see, how are we becoming like him? We are going to change our character to be like his. Our love is to be like his. Our patience is to be like his. Our long suffering. All the attributes of love. He said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, goodness, patience, meekness. All of those things is what is working in us, saints of God, to become like him. So that the saints are to be perfected. Perfected, not people think of to be like him, to be able to raise the dead, make the living to work. Those we follow. Those signs and wonders, they follow you because you are a son. Just like if you are a son, your son can go into the refrigerator and just open the refrigerator and just take what he likes. If it's a little baby that's not allowed, you say, oh, don't, because you know that he's trying to carry the milk is going to fall down and spill. Also, that's why you control little babies. Even though they are your sons, but they are little babies, you try to control what they cannot do because they have no strength nor the skill yet to be able to do what they are trying to do. But when they become adult sons, you let them control everything. You let them even take charge of the business. That is what we are to become. Sons of God that can take charge of the Father's business. And that is what he meant by saying, he gave unto as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. We are to become like Christ. To become sons of God. And that is what Hebrews chapter 2 also is referring to here when he said, he is to bring many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So he is the captain of our salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the captain. And he is the captain of our salvation. He is perfected through the suffering they went through. So we also suffer some. Many of us are going to go through a lot of suffering. And many people have already gone through some suffering. And he's perfecting us through all the suffering so that we become gentle, patient, long-suffering. And then the power of the Holy Ghost will flow smoothly through us as he wanted. Because that is the fullness of him is to have divine love. The fullness of Christ in us is to manifest divine love of God, which is love for man, the unconditional love. Remember that. Now, in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 2, he continues, he said, for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, what do you mean by all of one? That is, he's a human being like us, put on a human flesh like us. That's what it means that we are all of one. He's sanctifying we that are human beings because he has put on a human flesh so he can make, he knows our, he said that we are touched by some of our sorrows. He has suffered the same thing. So there's nothing that you can say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. No, he knew about what you are going through because he has been a human being too like us. That's why the Bible says he was tempted like us, then without sin. Verse 12 went for that. See, it's not ashamed to call them brethren. Christ is not ashamed to call us human beings brethren. We are his brothers and sisters that are women. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. That's in the book of Psalm 18. So every Psalm, there are so many Bible, so many phrases in the book of Psalms that actually prophesy about what the Messiah is saying and prophesy about the Messiah, what the Messiah himself talking through King David, through the Holy Ghost in King David, just prophesying about things that have to do with the Messiah. So when he quoted Psalm 18 again, he said, I will put my trust in him. He's talking about Christ putting the trust in the Father God. Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, which means Christ calling the people that are going to become sons, his children. Verse 14. For as much then as the children, who are these children? The believers in Christ that are going to become sons of God, because as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become. So Christ gave us the power of the Holy Spirit in us so that it will help us to become sons of God. As we walk with the Holy Spirit, our temperament changes, our gentleness becomes more perfect, our love becomes better and better. But we have to yield to it. It's not automatic. You have to remember that we believers are to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That's why some are growing faster. It's somewhat like when you plant a seed. He has planted the Holy Spirit in us like a seed that is going to germinate and blossom. And blossom. That's why you have to take time to pray in tongues, because that's how your spirit praying in the spirit. Your spirit praying through your mouth that you begin to. He said you are edifying yourself when you do that. Like I was saying, you plant a seed in the ground and you water it, the seed will grow and grow and become blade and then become things. And that is somehow what all of those things the seed become blossom and produce fruits. And you have to cooperate. The seed has to cooperate with the ground. The ground is supplying the water and the nourishment, and the light is coming, and the seed will come to, and this plant will grow and become blossoming. So you can't cut short the process. The same way, we are to cooperate with the Holy Ghost that has been given to us by yielding to the Word of God, by doing what the Bible says, exercising our faith, exercising our love, exercising our patience when necessary, exercising our long-suffering when necessary. As we exercise, our muscles get stronger. Also, to get your muscles to be stronger, you go to exercise it. Also, the same way you exercise all of those attributes of love, joy, gentleness, peace, patience, long-suffering, meekness. As you exercise them, even in the situation that is calling you to be mad, to be angry, you exercise patience, you exercise gentleness. That is how you get better. That's how you strengthen your muscles. That is how you become perfect. And that's when you are cooperating with the Word of God. You are cooperating with the Holy Spirit that is teaching us the Word. And that is really the process that I'm just describing to you, the process of growth in the body of Christ. And we have to be serious. Say, be diligently doing this. Diligently, consistently doing it, and then you become better and better, changing to the image of the Son of God. Now, in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 2 that we are reading, now in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, the children we are talking about are the believers, because we are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, that is Christ himself, likewise took part of the same. That's why he came down from heaven to become like us, to become a human being, so that he can be the firstborn, the first from the dead, the firstborn of the sons of the sons of God, himself being the Father, everlasting Father, himself put on human flesh and be a Son of God too. See, he said he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, through his own death, he might destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, I've explained this Bible verse over and over in many of my sermons. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a captain, the champion for mankind. Human beings, through Adam, lost the glory. They lost their position. And human beings became slaves to this enemy called Satan, the devil. And as slave trader, the devil is just bombarding human beings with diseases and sicknesses and dragging them to death. to hell, to some of them they rescue, they go to paradise. But physical death also is from the devil. Who is going to deliver us? We need a champion. All the champions came when then somebody is trying to do some havoc to Israel as a nation. Somebody will go raise up as a champion to raise up the people, let's fight this enemy. They fight the Midianite, they fight the Amalekite, they fight. Let's see. And then sometimes he raise up one single man like Samson to fight for the enemy, to fight for the Israelites and against the enemy. And Samson, by his own strength and with the Holy Ghost upon him, he was able to defend them for a while. But that's against human enemy. But we have an archenemy that's not a human being, a spirit, Satan, that have been bombarding humanity with all those things. We need a champion against this Satan. Every strong man, every military man, when the death strikes, they all run. Also. And the death took them away, whether to hell or to lake of, or to paradise. But they were all dying. But we need a champion that will defend us against this Satan. And that's what Jesus Christ came, to be a champion. And that's what he says, the captain of our salvation. But how is he going to deliver us from that death? Well, if death is the greatest enemy that every human being has been facing, he has to face death. And that's why he said, I have the power to lay down my life. So he went and faced death, wherever death is taking the souls of human beings to, and he whipped them over there. Hallelujah. Just think of it, if there's some gangs, think of all this that's going on. Boko Haram can kidnap people, and some of these jihadists or the bandits, they are kidnapping people, and then say they have captured people, and now they are now prisoners. Suppose there's a champion that can go there and say, Allah, but if you're going to face them, you have to let them capture you too. Let them take you to their den, where those bandits are, and their boss is there, and with all their guns. And then beat all of them. What about their guns? Yeah, the gun won't fire. And you have power to, and you beat all of them down. You take them all slaves. Now you now tell them, now you have now to have to, you now have to all release all my people. You see now? A champion like that can go and face them as a single person and beat all those bandits down in their den and take all their weapons from them, tie them up, and march them to the streets. Don't you see that will be a champion indeed and come back by himself? But how is he going to do? You have to first let them take him to their den. Whether they are Boko Haram, let them take him to their den, and then he arrests all of them, beat them up, and that is what the Lord Jesus came to do. Only that not against one woman, means against Satan himself that have been taking humanity to captivity in physical death. Because hell is a prison yard. There's a prison yard called death, a prison yard called hell. You see that in the book of Revelation, say that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire in the end. That means they are prison yards where the souls of human beings have been kept. But Jesus Christ went there and allowed the devil and all these quarrels and death angels to take him there. Then he whip all of them, take all of them captive. That's what the Bible says. He led captivity captive and then gave gifts to men. And then he came out by himself. In fact, he took some of the people out of the graves when he came back and went, took them to heaven with himself. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ resurrected, some dead saints resurrected with him. That means he liberated them from the powers of death. But people are still dying right now, yeah. But he is the Lord of both the place and the physical world. Because people die because they have not believed what he has said yet. And we are trying to believe that we can now live above death. That's what this Bible verse is saying. Because Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That he is able to keep us even physically alive right now to not die. Is able, because he has already conquered death. Who's carrying people to that death? It is Satan. But now Satan can't do that unless he takes permission. So, but if you believe this thing, you get your right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and Satan cannot kill you. And you can live till Christ comes. And that is what he is making me to preach, that we can live till he comes. Oh, suppose he doesn't come in 200 years. He's still able to keep us for 200 years. Or, Adam lived for 930 years. Or Methuselah lived for 969 years. So 200 years is nothing also. To say, well, those human beings, were they wearing the same type of flesh? Of course. And they lost their glory? Yeah, of course. But Christ has brought the glory back. He's able to keep us alive forever. And actually, he said, when the rapture comes, we that are alive will never die from that time. We're going to change to immortality that can live forever. And that is the plan of God. And he's saying, even right now, he can begin to keep us alive. And you say, believe it and confess it. Be this Bible verse. That's why he said, through his own death, he destroyed him that has the power of death. Why did he do that? That means he has destroyed Satan. That doesn't mean Satan is still not existing. He destroyed his power. That's what it means. He destroyed the business of Satan. His greatest venture is to kill human beings. That's what he used. When he cannot do this, he cannot tempt you, he tried to kill you physically. And all human beings are afraid. Then we have our champion. The champion came and defended us. Went to where he allowed him, he allowed this death angel to take him to where he took all the souls to. And he whipped them there and took them captive. Came alive by himself. That's why the Bible said he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his death and resurrection. He allowed them to crucify him on the cross. And he gave up the ghost. Well, they thought, they got him. They got him. They got him. Took him to hell. Well, now he just showed who he was when he got to hell. The Lord has shown me this when I was 16 in college, and I must have died upon my bed because I was captured by some hell spirits. And when they were dragging my soul, and they are like little boys like me in that vision, they were dragging my soul to this place towards the gate called the gate of hell. What I noticed that I was so weak, I couldn't even resist them. That was how human beings, when human beings get into death, they can't face all of those spirits on that side. They no matter how strong you are or not, no matter how powerful you are or not, when the death comes, the human being, their soul and spirit of human being become so weak that they can't even fight them over there. And they were dragging me over there, or just until the voice of God spoke to me and said, "Don't go into that gate." That voice gave me something. I pulled myself back from them. And then I was catapulted into another prison yard where I wrote those in some of my books. But see, that was how I knew that when death captured people, no human beings have been able to resist those satanic spirits called hell spirits that will take them to hell or to wherever they are going. But see, the voice of God can take the person out of their hand. That was that voice that spoke to me in that when they are carrying me in that place, they just say, "Don't go in there." So that is really what we are talking about. And the Lord himself that gave us that he's talking about, that came as a champion of mankind, he allowed them to take him to that same gate, and then he beat them up because he has the power of the Holy Ghost in him, the strength of God in him, that did not show him who he was, and he arrested Satan himself as their boss, and beat all of them down, took captive, and led some people out of that place, and now he has the power. And see what he said about himself in the book of Revelation. Chapter 1. That is what I'm describing to you. That he is our champion and he has given us the victory. And we are now to go boldly with his victory. And he said, Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. "I am he that liveth and was dead." You hear that? "And behold," he said, "look, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." See what I say? He said, "Fear not, I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." He has the keys of hell and of death. So let's say there's a key for that gate. He has the key. Hallelujah. He can go there, come back by himself, and command those devils over there that this one, you don't take him. This one, you don't touch him. That's why he has authority to say, "If a man keep my sins, shall never see death." The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. And I'm preaching this to you so that you can know that you have this confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the Lord of all. He's able to save us and keep us alive as he has promised. And I'm praying that the Lord will give you this understanding so that you can have the confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, as he has said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10. He has abolished death. He has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. So that was what Hebrews chapter 2 was revealing to us. And I will read the rest of the verses. He said, "He delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But since the very day he took not on him the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham," because we are all putting on the seed of Abraham by faith. Verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." I'm going to continue this in the next broadcast. Don't miss the next broadcast, because we are going to explain this further about Christ abolishing death in this chapter 2. Is what was revealed that to us from verse 14. God bless you. Christ indeed abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel.